You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine, and our favorite advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder. Hi, Dr. Emder.
Hi, good afternoon. Great to be on the show.
Yeah, always. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, I'm not going to say thanks for having me because, you know, I'm like,
you're the host.
I'm like a regular fixture. So thanks for not uninviting me.
Right. Yes. At any time, we could just boot you out.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's
then
right.
We really wouldn't have much of a show, but that's okay. So how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm kind of resting up for my next trip.
I know. This show should no longer be called Aging Redefined. It should be called, Where Did Dr. Emder Just Go on Vacation?
Where in America is Dr. Emder?
Where?
Yeah, I realize I really just travel now, so I have something to talk about.
I appreciate that.
I don't really want to go on these trips, but we're going back to Colorado. It's my grandson's third birthday.
How exciting. Is he a skier, too?
Not only is he a skier, he's been skiing for a year now.
Really?
And,
that's possible?
That is possible. He's probably one of the youngest kids on the slope.
Wow.
And he just came through the Vail Ski School. And not to brag, but his instructor said, we did not ask for this, but he said one of the easiest kids to teach and also the best student at that age.
Really?
Yeah, so he's in class three, whatever that means.
Wow.
And his brother, who's like a year older, is in class four, and they're tearing up the mountain in Vail, Colorado. So
I'm totally impressed.
Yeah, I'm going out to join them.
And unlike some other mountains right now, there is a lot of snow in Colorado, correct?
So Colorado, I'm like an advertisement for Colorado, tourism. They're having their best ski season in 5 years.
Wow.
They've had the best snow. I mean, I was there in the last week of January, first week of February. They had 4 feet of snow.
Wow.
It was almost too much snow. So
and it's like powdery. I'm not a skier. I fully admit that. I just look at it from afar and enjoy hot chocolate.
Right. So here's the good news is, if you pick up a new sport, you can shop for that sport. So you can get all sorts of new clothes.
Oh, poor Mrs. Emder.
Yeah, you should see the hot jacket I got my wife. So
really?
Yeah. So it's another way to support the economy.
So are you the cool looking skier, or do you totally go like with the bright colored jacket and it's like, oh, we know where?
So here's the story. I actually look phenomenal until I step on the slope. I mean, I got the nicest. My age, I can afford to buy nice things. So I look like I'm a hot skier until I get on the snow.
Okay.
And then I don't look so hot.
You're still going down your double black diamonds, though.
So we are going down. It's nothing like, the Olympic skiers, which is, I'd like to think I'm in my mind that I'm skiing at. But we're pretty good.
And does your body agree with that?
My body, it recognizes that I'm not an Olympic skier.
Mm.
My body's happy when I get up in the morning. So, yeah.
So my big question to you, because you hurt your back, a month or two ago,
That was the last week of December.
Yeah. And you're still, you've worked through that and doing a good job, but, you need to go skiing. So how's your back?
So, my back is doing good. My front isn't doing so well.
Front being because you fell?
I have this chronic bad knee. And so last night when I got home, my right leg was swollen compared to my left leg because I was wearing this band to take the pain off my knee, except the band kind of slipped down below the knee and it restricted everything. So
those bands work.
They do if they keep them in the right place.
If they're in the right spot. Okay.
Yeah. So, but the big thing is, I have a whole cadre of doctors that I go to. So
we have them on the show one by one to explain your ailments.
Yesterday I saw Dr. Reed Abrams, who's my hand surgeon.
Oh, the one that worked on your carpal tunnel.
My last big trip is I went fly fishing in Alaska, and I caught so many big fish as I developed a carpal tunnel. So a week after I got back, I had to have surgery. So in fact,
you're falling apart.
Yeah. So when I saw him yesterday, and I'm doing great, a great response to therapy. You can't even tell that I had any surgery.
No. I'm impressed. They did it up your lifeline.
Yeah, lifeline. So I told Dr. Abrams that, I wish I had a third hand for him to operate on because You know, I'm doing so well, and he's such a great surgeon.
Because you're going to need, you're so busy. You could use it third hand.
Yeah, I could. So so the bottom line is my hand's working, my knee's working, my back's working. We're going back on the slopes.
Got it. How even cool though your that? Knee is not in tip-top shape. It's almost like you need, this is a segue into our show today, a physician that can go with you, or mobile.
Right. You need a primary care physician to coordinate, you know, your body as it falls apart.
Yeah, just to keep, you know, keep you active on those slopes so you don't kind of fall apart when you get to the top. Then you just got to roll down. But we have a great show today. I'm excited about this. We have
absolutely.
Dr. Duffy on.
Right.
He's going to be giving us a rundown on the truth behind the
He's
whole
with,
mobile physician thing.
Pacific Medical Care, and I believe they have a primary care office downtown, and he's with mobile physicians. Mm-hmm. So if there's some reason, you know, you can't get into his office, he can actually bring the office to you. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking with him today.
Yeah, and mobile physicians, there's a lot behind it that we don't know, so I'm excited to hear all
education.
About that. But, yeah.
It's going to be edumacation for our audience, as always, today. So that's me. Let's talk about you. The nice thing is you're in the middle of a pregnancy, so there's always something to talk about.
I am halfway through now. I'm 21 weeks, and he's kicking away.
Nice.
You know, little Reese is what we're naming him.
I like it.
Yeah.
Reese's Pieces.
Exactly. So the nicknames have already come through my family. You know,
okay. Give us some of the nicknames.
Oh, well, Reese's Pieces is obviously the big one. Love, you know, we will be loving him to pieces. Kind of what I'm hearing a lot. What did my dad say? Now I'm forgetting. It's a blonde moment with the, you know, pregnancy brain. It's all happening together. I have no idea what I'm doing.
You've had no nausea, no
blues. No, I'm totally fine. Slightly tired, you know, but I think that goes with the fact that we just moved and I'm still unpacking things and.
You need to enjoy the next 3 or 4 months because your life will change for a mere 20 years when this baby is born.
20 years, that's it? I think I'm still giving my mom heart attacks.
Okay, well, you'll be paying for 30 or 40.
But the thing that I did very unintelligently was I went and got a puppy thinking that my dog needs a companion for when this baby comes. We don't want to neglect our dog, who's this cute little... she's a Morky poo, so like a Maltese, a Yorkie poodle, right? So she's a cute little thing.
I saw pictures of absolutely beautiful
doll. Yeah, yeah. No, she's a doll. So we've gotten this little puppy to be her friend, but at the same time, I'm thinking, okay, we wanted her long enough so that she was no longer a crazy little puppy when the baby came. So we figured, okay, about 6 months. Well, it's like we've given up our life. I'm waking up 3 times during the night while she's like whining so I can take her to the bathroom. And, you know, Glenn is sitting like sleeping next to me going, oh, what's going on? You know, so it's crazy. In our house, every time I turn around, I'm finding a little present from him, you know. Okay. So that's probably what's making me most
tired.
Fatigued. Yeah.
Well, I think it's probably a good idea to have the baby with the puppy, you know, so they can grow up together and have the puppy first to get oriented to the house.
That was really the thought process in my mind.
Good.
I was going to say, in reality, it's not working out the way I was hoping.
Yeah.
But I'm sure down the line, it'll be all right. You know, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. So anyway.
Well, I found there's a way, you know, you could track, you know, how much sleep you're getting. And how active you are.
I am so scared about tracking that. But yes, okay, how do we do it?
Well, this is an article in Wall Street Journal about the CEOs are snapping up these digital fitness trackers. And these are a wristband that you wear.
Yeah.
And it ties into your smartphone and it uploads your data to the cloud.
You're so tech savvy, Dr. Emder.
I'd never even heard about this, but it's very interesting. Nike makes a product, and there's other products called Fitbit, F-I-T-B-I-T, mm-hmm. Jawbone, and then Nike has a product where basically these high-level, high-functioning CEOs are comparing their data, but they're also using it as a way to stay healthy. They're tracking, you know, how much exercise they're getting, how many steps they're taking. How much sleep they're getting, and they're looking at each other's data. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, what do you mean they're looking at each other's data? Well, so you're talking about like CEOs of major companies are sharing this information?
Yeah, So
because they don't just have to, anybody can get one.
Anybody can get one. Yeah. Michael Dell from Dell Computer, Mark Banoff from Salesforce, and the CEO from American Express. Oh, so they have their data online. So one of them got sick and stopped exercising, and the other people called us. What are you doing? You're not exercising. We see your data online. How cool is that?
Yeah. And what are some of the things that it tracks?
Well, it has a device in there called, I think, an accelerometer. It sounds pretty fancy. Hmm. And it tracks and measures the movements of the individual. So, if you're asleep, it'll track that you're asleep. So, you know, we should be getting, 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Mm-hmm. It'll track how much sleep you're getting. I believe it'll track, how active you are, how many steps you're taking. Mm-hmm. And it tracks when you're going for your workout. So, the important thing is at the end of the day, you can use this on an individual basis, not to compete with someone, but to see, how compliant you are with, staying active, going to the gym, getting the right amount of sleep.
Yeah. Are they pretty? I mean, that's my main concern. If you're wearing this thing 24/7 for a female, it needs to match.
Okay. So it's one point, Dan. There's a picture of these pretty girls. They said the problem is it does interfere with their fashionista part.
Oh, yeah.
Them.
See, it's kind of like a little...
It looks like a black band, but they're wearing it because
if you had a jawbone and you slapped it around your wrist.
Yeah. So, you're not using this for a fashion statement.
Slowly,
we're using it for a health statement. And, I think I'm going to, go out and see how active...
I think you should
active,
get one.
Because
we'll talk about it.
Right. Because, if I was wearing this for the last 2 days... I would have basically blown it up. I'm working on 8 hours of sleep in 3 days.
Oh my God.
Saving lives. I have about a 10-hour sleep deficit.
Oh, that's healthy.
So I'll probably be falling asleep by the end of the show.
Okay.
But we'll
try
time
to keep
for
you
a
excited
break.
About it.
And I can take a quick 30-second nap and we'll be right back.
All right. Audience out there, stay with us. We will be right back to talk more to Dr. Duffy about mobile physicians.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, with my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. And Dr. Emder, we've got an awesome guest today, so I'll hand it over to you to introduce him.
So this is Dr. Michael Duffy, a good friend of mine who I worked with for many years. He did his undergrad at the State University of New York in Binghamton, New York. And he also went to University of West Virginia for part of his undergrad. He's a graduate of the Kansas City College of Osteopathic Medicine and did his residency at Parkland Hospital, also in Kansas, and is the president and owner of Pacific Medical Care, a primary care delivery system, and mobile physicians. So, Dr. Duffy, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, this concept of mobile physicians really is quite interesting, and I don't really know that much about it. I suspect it's for shut-ins that can't get into the doctor's office to be seen, but can you tell me about the history of mobile physicians and, what kind of patients do you service?
I can, but being from the Midwest, it's really important to me to separate Kansas and Missouri, and those schools are actually in Missouri. It's a fine line, but, when we put our hats and boots on out there,
it
goes along with the y'all.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, that's all part of the plain states, which means that they're really plain. But let's not get into that.
Mobile physicians was a company that's been around in this area for about 22 to 24 years or so. Pacific Medical Care was my primary company and intended to be a small mom and pop type company and my little black bag and go to people's homes when they need me and in the office when they need me. And unfortunately or fortunately, the demand just became much bigger and greater. And I saw that while mobile services are available in the community, complete mobile services, services that address the true primary care needs of the patients were lacking sorely.
So you need like a true brick and mortar place to follow up with the patients.
Right. There are just some procedures that you can't adequately do in homes. There are some things that require just a little bit more. The problem is transportation and things like that for these patients are not available. That's a lot of the reason sometimes they're shut in, if you will.
So you can actually go to the home.
We go to their home.
And you can do blood work and x-rays and all that if necessary.
We have mobile x-ray. We have mobile psychologists. We have mobile doctors. We have mobile physician assistants, nurses, medical assistants, phlebotomy, ultrasound. We virtually can bring most things to your door. However, in my opinion, it's most important that we have really good coordinated care. Going back to the primary care mold and model that we really are being driven to because we need to be driven to, it's good medicine. It requires us coordinating care. It requires doctors speaking to each other. It requires somebody guiding the ship. So we try to bring the patients in about three times a year to be seen in the office, and then we have an annual plan for them.
Yeah.
And then they are followed. Keep in mind, these are chronic care patients. They have a multitude of illnesses. They have cardiomyopathies and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and kidney disease and depression and anxiety mm-hmm. and all kinds of things that are really debilitating disorders. And they're usually on multitudes of medications. So monitoring these and monitoring the subtle changes for these people is what hopefully keeps them out of the hospital. It's hopefully what keeps their chronic obstructive pulmonary disease from going into a full-blown flare, and we catch it in the early stages.
So I know a big push by the federal government is they're concerned about readmissions to the hospital, and probably the biggest problem are the heart failure patients. And I work more on the hospital side, and then the problem we get into is the patients go home, you give them all their medications, but number one, they're confused or they never take their medicines,
right.
And they flip back in within 30 days. And so now the hospitals and soon the doctors will get dinged for the readmission within 30 days. But a good way to solve that is a plan like what you just described, where you have a coordinator that once these patients are discharged from the hospital, there's someone coming in or making sure they follow up and are taking their medicines and watching their diet.
Would you agree with that? That's exactly what we do, as well as we have affiliate doctors in virtually every hospital in the counties, so that we are coordinating care with them. We are discussing and having contact and hopefully providing some guiding to that ship there. When we go into the homes, it's an opportunity to see subtle changes with the patients, not only to look at their pill bottles and count the pills in the bottle and whatnot, but also to see, gee, is Mildred all of a sudden not doing the dishes? Is the house a little bit different? Mm. Are there rugs on the floor that they could be tripping over? Are there better ways that we can do things and services that they need? We go as far as to have social workers and care providers to be
That's
able
huge.
To reach out and help them.
So are most of the patients population Medicare, or is it all comers, all ages?
We have 20% of my practice, our practice, I should say, is free. We don't turn away anybody as a general
wow.
rule. I came from small means myself, and I don't forget where I came from. This is a labor of love. It is very important to me to do it better, to create a model that we can look back at and measurably see differences in what we're doing for the community and their ability to stay in their homes longer and avoid hospitalizations. And, you know, people asked me years ago, who do you take care of? And my answer used to be to them, I take care of everybody that nobody else wants to touch. And I wear that badge of honor very proudly. I'm happy
nice.
To do it.
Mm.
What about somebody like a CEO or a business person that's extremely busy and looking for a physician to come to the office? Is that a different target market?
We do provide that as well. Mm-hmm. We don't exclude the wealthy. That's what allows us to pay for the other 20% that we provide services for on the beach and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. And yes, we have a upscale model available as well, and we do provide home services, including x-ray, ultrasound. We'll come out at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're sick and you need something. We are there for you. Again, we are cutting down the visits to the emergency room. We are cutting down the hospitalizations. But when they do need to be hospitalized, typically they will avoid the emergency room and save a tremendous amount of cost. They've been evaluated. We will have coordinated a direct admission with the physician in the hospital, and they will have a direct admission with a targeted treatment plan.
Okay.
What about the Medicare patients? Does Medicare cover the services?
They do. Medicare covers home visits when appropriately performed in the right way. Medicare constitutes at least, I would say, at least 80% of our business.
Because I know my Medicare, in previous years, we were having pilots in certain communities where they were encouraging the home visits and physicians to get that data, and where they were looking at that. I don't know whatever happened with that.
They have actually reached out to our company. We are one of the company in the community. They've reached out to several of the large HMO plans as we are looking at strategically moving Medicaid or Medi-Cal in this state, forgive me, to HMO-driven models in the Medicare system. They reached out to our company as being the experts in the community to be able to provide the baseline data and get to the patients that they cannot get to, and we have been providing such services.
So how do people get into your system? What's the contact information?
Well, the contact information is to call 619-339-5512. That is my phone number. I'm giving it out to you here.
That's brave.
You would think so, but out of all the patients I've treated, they all have my direct cell phone number. They have my phone number. I answer my phone. Mm-hmm. If they abuse it, then they don't maintain themselves in the system. I don't have them abuse it. They can reach a physician 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because you need to be able to reach a physician 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have not found in all my years of practice that I have had more than a very small handful that I've even had to have a conversation with about abusing it.
Oh, that's good. So where is this service available in San Diego? I know San Diego's a big
entire
place.
County.
Okay. So, are you affiliated with certain hospitals or?
We do not have, while I will tell you that I personally have some favorites, I'm going to try to leave those to myself, but we do utilize every hospital in the county.
Okay.
We have patients that it's a proximity issue a lot of times, but I do, depending on what they need to do, there are certain hospitals that provide services in a specific area, whether it's cardiac or renal or pulmonary. Okay. And we may make selections based on that.
Does that include Kaiser?
It does not. Okay. Regrettably, HMO medicine is something we do not do. We cannot afford to do at this point in time. What typically happens with those patients is that families will pay cash for the visits for us to come and see, and we do have quite a bit of those.
Okay.
It's a challenge.
It's a big service if someone can't get into the hospital, and they basically the hospital can come to them. There could be definite advantage.
Extremely cost effective too, from an economics point of view. To go to an emergency room, which is ultimately what winds up happening a lot of times, it's going to cost you $2,500 to $5,000. To have a mobile service come out and see you, it's likely going to cost you somewhere around
$200. Wow. Mm.
So when you look at the sheer economics of this and the savings, it's really tremendous.
Well, I think we have to take a break.
We do. And, we'll switch the topic for as far as Pacific Medical Care is concerned into what you know, types of care, maybe more specific topics.
Great.
Like pain management and stuff when we get back. So audience out there, stay right with us and we will be back in a sec.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated 5-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Welcome back to our show with on Aging Redefined, and we have my good friend, Dr. Michael Duffy, who I actually work with. I do some of his internal medicine admissions and critical care at Alvarado Hospital, and I've been fascinated by unusual patients for me, which are chronic pain patients that you're in the process of detoxifying, and which I've had a few, and it's been very interesting. And a challenge for myself, but these patients do remarkably well. And I guess my first question is, how did you get into the area of pain management?
Painfully.
I guess that's usually how it starts.
You know, first off, I want to address that pain management issue, because really what Pacific Medical Care does and what I do is not pain management. It is pain treatment. The distinguishing factor there is when we send somebody to pain management, we've made a decision. We've made a decision that either this is a short-acting process and I'm using this because it's a complex matter and it's going to dissipate and go away, but those aren't the patients that I treat. I'm treating chronic, long-term pain patients. So when we say we've sent them to pain management, we've made a decision that this patient is a failure. This patient has either failed surgically, this patient has failed to resolve their issue in some way so that they require chronic ongoing narcotics.
Mm.
The fallacy with that is that chronic ongoing narcotics don't treat chronic pain. They're dangerous. We have a tremendous overdosing going on in this community and every community in the United States. It's a long tail that was driven initially by actually, the Veterans Administration, in their efforts to reduce drug abuse, they suggested in the 70s that we move to a model of long-term acting narcotics because that was going to reduce the amount of abuse potential with them. Well, we did that, and then in the 80s, they started suing doctors for failure to treat patients that are in pain.
Mm.
And so then the doctors got onto a model of, well, we're going to treat everybody. And the rule was if they said they're in pain, they're in pain. The problem with that is we didn't risk stratify anything that we did. Okay. And pain is subjective, but pain is not always physical.
Mm-hmm.
Chronic narcotics, your body is a highly sophisticated computer, if you will. When I give you, for instance, 2 Vicodin because you're in pain, they work pretty well for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You come back into my office and, geez, doctor, that pain is coming back pretty strong. I need more. Give you some more. Now you're taking 4. You come back in a couple of weeks and you're taking 8 and 10 and 12 and so on and so forth.
Mm.
We call that tolerance. And what that is no big magic here. Your body learns how to manipulate these medications. It learns how to process them in a different fashion, a more rapid fashion, so that the analgesic or pain relief benefit from that, you require more and more and more. The problem is your rest of your organ systems don't adapt that way. So what happens is your respiratory rate starts to decrease. you don't take as good deep breaths. So you're starting to get more atelectasis, a lack of air movement in your lungs, and you start developing things like pneumonia. You are less conscious, so you start aspirating food into your lungs. I have had one patient recently that was on a tremendous amount of chronic pain meds. He had a 30% ejection fraction. He's been in a wheelchair, an electric wheelchair, mind you, for the last 5 years. His ejection fraction now is 70%. He's up walking around with no assistive devices, okay, and it's functioning just fine with no pain. The problem is these medications were never intended to do the things that we want them to do. They are not the miracle cure.
Okay? So a lot of what you try to do is get the patients off these medications.
You know, yes, but I want to remove the fear from that. You can't just take somebody who is dependent and addicted to narcotics and remove the med, okay? You have to treat the problem that the med was initially given for. So if the problem is low back pain, we need to address what the actual issue is with paraspinal type injections, local analgesics, okay, with massage therapy, with acupuncture, with osteopathic manipulative therapy.
So do you do all this in your office? I mean, do you provide all these?
All of those services are available and provided to my patients in the office. There's another big component that's provided in the office, though, psychiatric care and psychological counseling.
Wow.
These patients, when you take narcotics, it actually changes your brain. When we do MRIs, it will demonstrate changes in your midbrain. It will demonstrate changes in your forebrain. The problem that you get into, we call these endocrinopathies, okay? For men and women, it will, because of changes in your endocrine function, which regulates your chemicals in your body, if you will, hormones and that type of thing, it will completely block out your testosterone, okay? So your sexual function declines, your hair starts falling out, okay? Your thyroids don't work well anymore. You become and develop sustained depressions. Your cardiac function slides. These changes are well demonstrated with narcotics and amphetamines. And when you say, well, amphetamines, that's street drugs. No. What about Adderall and all these drugs that we're giving our children these days?
That's true, yeah.
As well as adults. These are demonstrated changes in your MRI studies. Okay. After 6 months of being off of these, the brain structural changes start to revert back. The drug-induced processes that take place include things like bipolar disorder, chronic paranoid schizophrenia.
You mean this is as a result of being on long-term narcotics?
As a result of being on long-term narcotics. You know, let me give you a great example. Recently, I was at your hospital. I was at Alvarado. And I have to tell you, by the way, I love Alvarado.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Regrettably, I needed part of my colon removed.
Oh, no. You were in there for the wrong reasons.
Prior to that, I had been somewhere else for my same problem. And they were assessing what was wrong with my abdomen. And they had put me on Dilaudid. So every time they came into the room, I don't normally take aspirin. I'm just not a big fan of taking any type of drug. Mm-hmm. Every time they came into the room, they said, Dr. Duffy, do you need more? And I shook my head, said, uh-huh. And they came in and they gave me more. And they would do this very frequently. And eventually I was on oxygen. My O2 saturations were dropping down into the 80s.
No kidding.
And they came in and said, Dr. Duffy, do you need more? And I said, uh-huh. Okay, well, let me give you the example here. If anybody who's ever been intoxicated, who's ever been out and had drinks, and you're going to ask the guy at the bar, does he need another one?
Yeah.
You're asking an impaired person if they need more drugs.
Right.
I pretty much, this is a business that you can make money in. I mean, this is good stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a bad plan from the word go. Mm-hmm. As soon as a patient is on these drugs for 30 days, they have developed a tolerance. They have developed, and this is a big deal right now, okay? We talk about addiction, okay? And we talk about dependence. My answer is baloney. We developed that for a reason, to make people feel better about what they're doing and not to be worried about the addictive process, and so that I could separate street drugs from pharmaceuticals. Well, let's stop calling this stuff Vicodin and Norco and all these things. Let's call it what it is. It's heroin. There's no difference. It's heroin. These people are addicted to heroin. The success rate of detoxing somebody nationally is less than 1%.
Wow.
I'm embarrassed to tell you how high my success rate is.
Tell us.
Okay. I truly am. 2%? It's over 90%.
That is amazing.
Okay. But it's not, when I say my, that's such a fallacy. We have psychologists, social workers. I have people that are just care companions that sit with these people overnight and respond to them when they need to. We have skilled nursing units and doctors such as Dr. Emdur that help me detox them in an acute care hospital. This is a tremendous team effort. These patients are seen multiple times a week. They're in exercise programs. They're getting acupuncture. They're getting massage. They're getting injections to block the pain and treat the pain while we are working them through to improve other body parts around them, so that we're building a better structure around the problem areas, if you will, to mitigate the pain. I will tell you, out of all the patients we have detoxed, I don't have one single patient in more pain than they were when they were on all the drugs. They're all in less pain. Most of them have gone back to work, and some of them have not worked in 15 years. They're back to work. Huh. They want to be back at work. These people don't want to be impaired.
Right.
Okay.
And you do this all at the Pacific Medical?
We do.
Nice.
We really do. This was driven very personally for me. Unfortunately, I lost my oldest son about 6 years ago, Michael. And Michael had a chemical dependency problem, okay, with prescriptions. And I will tell you, it broke my heart. It just broke my heart. I finally did get Michael straightened out. And Michael was a very successful businessman, by the way. He was 23 years old, and he was doing tremendously well. But he had this addiction problem. I finally got Michael cleaned up when I figured out what was going on. And unfortunately, he got killed by an impaired driver.
Unfair.
On Sports Arena Boulevard. And I'll tell you, you know, God puts you in a lot of places for a lot of reasons. And if I can, as a parent, to lose a child, it's one of the worst things that you could possibly experience. And I spent the first year of that in absolute devastation, paralyzed, just unable to move. And then finally, I went out and worked with the migrant workers out in the desert for about a year and a half. And that really helped me kind of refocus. Depression is one thing. Knowing to be upset about something, to be angry about something is one thing. To get to a point where you no longer care about anything is a whole different topic. And I think we need to take a break. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We do actually. But I'm like hanging on every word here. So audience out there, stay right with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Duffy to talk more about this topic.
Tucked away in Lemon Grove is a skilled care and rehab facility to rival any other. Our private and semi-private rooms surround a grand courtyard. Our large physical, occupational, and speech therapy suites, along with our certified wound care team, are a continuum of care from our finest local hospitals. As a Medicare-rated five-star facility, we're trusted by San Diego's top doctors. Whether experiencing a recent joint replacement, stroke, or pulmonary issues, you can trust Lemon Grove Care and Rehabilitation to get back on your feet and back home. For more information, visit lemongrovecare.com or call 619-463-0294. Lemon Grove welcomes you.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Michalski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. Today, we're talking to Dr. Michael Duffy about all sorts of different things from Pacific Medical Care. So, Dr. Duffy, I'll hand it over to you, and I know we want to talk a little bit about just primary care in general.
Well, you know, primary care is something that the world got away from, and it's trying very hard to find its way back to. Mm-hmm. It is a much better modality of medicine. First off, let me say I'm an osteopath, and I'm going to say that again. I am an osteopath. What is that?
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Just to clarify for the blonde.
An osteopath for layman's terms, okay? Mm-hmm. And don't anybody start calling me and shooting at me. It would be the equivalent, if you will, of taking an MD and a chiropractor and putting them together. Okay, we have 500 extra hours of training in manipulative medicine and what's called manual medicine. It is our belief that structure superimposes function. Mm-hmm. So basically, the way your body is designed, we should do our best to kind of keep it that way. Mm. And when one thing breaks, something else is going to compensate it. Okay, that's not to tell you that we're going to treat lung cancer with manipulation.
Right.
It's generally not going to be the answer. Okay. All right. But primary care is the focus of osteopathy. I still, you know, when I finished my program in Missouri, my mentor gave me his black bag that he used to go from house to house.
The old-fashioned
I still have.
Kind.
And in Missouri, I as well went to homes. I practiced in the hospital and went to the homes when they needed me to go to the homes, and my office when they needed me to be in the office. The focus of primary care becomes somebody guiding the ship. All too often, we have multi-specialists all over the place. We have, and God love them, mm-hmm. pulmonary doctors and cardiac doctors.
Some of my best friends are specialists.
Yeah, and mine too. And all the subspecialists. And the idea of an internal medicine doctor or a family practice doctor is that they should get consults. And then they should take that information and coordinate that information with the patient so that we're making sure that we're getting the best of everything we can, because this is not a lung. It is not a heart. It's not a foot. It's a human being. Okay, and they're going to have different needs. You know, one of the big examples I can give you of this is we take a diabetic, and by the way, I am one. Okay,
yeah, really.
And we put them in the hospital, and because their blood sugars are all over the place, and we put them in there, and we adjust their blood sugars, and we give them insulin, and it's all perfect. The blood sugars run at 100. It's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. While they're in there, they're on what's called an ADA diet, a diabetic diet, and then we send them home. And Gladys or Mildred or Steve or whoever it is goes home and they break into their box of Twinkies. Okay, because I know I will. All right. And, they go back to eating the diet that they're going to eat on their routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they don't know they shouldn't eat this. They've made a decision that they're not going to eat this. It's not what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet their insulin was set and adjusted for them as if they were going to follow this ADA diet. Well, hopefully their primary care doctor knows better.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully their primary care doctor has talked to Mildred, Steve, and Gladys and said, look, this is not the way you want to do this. This is dangerous. It would be much better for you if you did follow some dietary guidelines. However, if you're not going to do that, if you understand that you are making a choice that can and will hurt you, but it's your choice, that's their right. That's a right to autonomy versus me trying to assert my paternalism over them, okay? Then my job then becomes not to beat on them, not to manipulate somebody. It becomes my job to take care of them the best that I can in light of the decisions they're going to make. But for me to have spent $10,000 to have regulated them in the hospital, for instance, and send them home without the proper tools to live in their environment makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mode that we've gotten into. Too often you'll go to two or three different doctors and they'll all do the same test. because none of them know the other one exists.
Hmm.
Okay.
No, it's dangerous there. Yeah.
It's not only expensive, it's dangerous. Okay. It's a real challenge. So the goal of primary care medicine, you know, really needs to be about the patient. It needs to be about saving dollars, saving risk, saving lives. And, you know, so many of my patients come into my office, and what they tell me is they don't feel like they're coming into a doctor's office. They're coming to see their friend. They walk in and it's, how are you? And it's a hug. They have a family problem, and we sit and we talk about it in my office. You know, it's what you would hope medicine to be, you know, for your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you currently do partner with a lot of the physicians that are in the area when specialists are needed to be called in.
Our company is so blessed to have partners like Dr. Emder, okay, who are at Alvarado and the multi-specialty centers around the city, that I have the ability to, and I did actually this week, pick up the phone and get a curbside consult from Dr. Emder. I just kind of stole it from him.
Which I love to do because, you know, if we can save an admission, you know, it's good for the patient. And
it was great. It was just terrific. Thank you. And, you know, this is something frequently we do, but when we have a network of people that speak to each other, we are able to get better information. We are better able to accomplish the goals that we are able to want to set out. Mm-hmm. For instance, I'll call Dr. Emder and I'll say, gee, I have a patient. I want to detox acutely off of narcotics. They have a multitude of medical problems. I really feel this needs to be done in an acute care hospital. Would you please take them for me? Mm-hmm. And these are the parameters of what we want to try to accomplish here. And then he'll take them into the hospital and get them prepared for me to deal with on a longer term basis where they're more medically stable and it's a safer environment. But by doing that, we're able to minimize the hospital stay, cut the cost to Medicare or whoever the carrier is that way, and then use step down type facilities like skilled nursing units and rehabilitation centers and my office.
Right.
Largely my office, you know. And accomplish the goals that we want to. So it's really, it's nice.
Right. And a good thing from my standpoint is when the patient's ready to leave the hospital, you know, I have a physician I can call directly, say, this is, you know, what we accomplished. Or even during the hospitalization, you know, I'll call Dr. Duffy and we get discuss the medications and make changes with his input. Because, you know, I see the patient for 2-3 days. He's seen the patient for 2-3 years. He can give me insight to about medications that he's been on before. And we can come up with a tailored, personalized plan for them and then get all that information back to his primary care doctor. So it's good continuity of care.
Right. And I think, Dr. Duffy, you were mentioning something earlier when we were off air, that there are other models out there, you know, where they might go in and not continue to see their regular physicians as well, right? If they're going, I mean.
Well, HMO medicine is driven by our need for cost containment, and it is not all bad. The reality is if you're young and you're healthy, you are in a really pretty good system, okay? As you get older and you have more challenges and you're going to have more demands, it becomes more complicated. You go to see a group of doctors in one setting as an outpatient, and then when you're sick, you are put into a hospital with very little communication, if any, okay? You're managed acutely, and then you are put back out. Again, with very little communication, if any. This is the big problem that we get into with that. When you're homebound, you can't get to the doctor, and they won't come to you because they can't come to you. Mm-hmm. They're being paid a very nominal amount of money to manage your care, and it's just not affordable to make that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend money on fancy cars. We spend money on a steak instead of a hamburger. And I do recognize that medical care does cost money and we all have limitations, but we are going to have to sit and make appropriate designations of what is it worth to us to maintain good health. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was a book written, I believe it was in the 70s, by Fuchs. It was called Who Shall Live? He's a health economist. Part of my original degree was in healthcare and healthcare economics.
No kidding.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy the economics
side. That's a whole show in itself.
It's an interesting book. I suggest people reading it if they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a privilege to do what we do, and I really enjoy it. And I hope that, and I know, actually, we are bringing home care to a new standard of care, that we are keeping people well as opposed to just treating illnesses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the amazing thing is we're introducing our audience to Dr. Duffy and his system, where pain treatment, primary care, the home health. I mean, it's pretty extensive. We're kind of running out of time. We'd love to have you back on the show in the near future. Just for our audience, if they want to get in contact with you again, can you give the number that they can call to get
in? It would be 619-339-5512.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'd love to have you back in the near future.
And Dr. Amder, if people want to get a hold of you.
I'm at 619-286-8803, and I'm on the web at drlarryemder.com.
Exactly. And for audience out there that's listening and enjoyed our show, feel free to download the podcast of it. You can hear it anytime you want to, in your car, on the way home from work, whatnot. And that is Aging Redefined Radio. We also have a Facebook page that you can jump on. Feel free to ask us any questions you might have. We can perhaps make one of them a topic on the show. And we thank you so much for listening. So we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.